Trustman for your ministry this morning. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. If you remember last time we were in the Gospel of Luke, we looked at the parable of the Good Samaritan and what Jesus was trying to teach there about recognizing your failure to keep all of God's commandments. And now we're looking at the next passage here in verses 38 through 42 of Luke 10. Luke 10, 38 is where we are this morning. And there's something that's just as important as recognizing the need to love your neighbor that Jesus is teaching here in this passage, Luke 10, 38 through 42. The story is told of a man who was traveling in Africa, and he had recruited the help of several African tribesmen to help him carry his belongings through the jungles. And the first day they set out, they traveled very far and fast, and the traveler had very high hopes of making a speedy journey. But on the second day, the jungle tribesmen that he had recruited to help him refused to move at all. And he asked these tribesmen what the problem was. Why weren't they moving at all? And they answered his question. They said that they had gone too fast the first day, and they were now waiting for their souls to catch up with their bodies. The passage before us today directs us to stop and rest, not for our souls to catch up with our bodies, but for our souls to have the time that we need for communion with the Lord. And sometimes that means just stopping and just resting. The Lord deals with this need that we have here in these few verses. He's trying to teach us the real need that we have of communion with the Lord. So I'd like us to see here some principles from this passage for having communion with God, having communion with the Lord. And the first principle I want to point out here comes from verses 38 and 39. So if you look there, Luke 10, 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Imagine that you received a phone call today or in the coming week, and maybe it would be from the President of the United States, and he would say, I would like to come over to your house, and I would like to meet with you and talk with you. Now, you may say, no thanks, but imagine what that opportunity would be like. Or say, you get a call, or somebody stops at your door, and it's the Publisher's Clearinghouse, and they say, you just won $1 million. Wow. Certainly, come on in. Now, tonight we're going to be talking about thou shalt not steal, so that's another factor anyway. But, what an amazing opportunity that would be. And I say all that just to try to get you to realize what it would be like for Jesus to come to your house, okay? Because that's what was going on here in this passage. We are told that Jesus came to the home of a family. And imagine that. Imagine Jesus wanting to come to your house. But we see that Jesus did care for this family. Verse 38, came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. And we know from other passages of Scripture, John 11, verse 1, that probably was Bethany. That's where this family lived, Mary and Martha. They had a brother named Lazarus. And this would be east of Jerusalem, about 2 miles. Jesus is heading into Jerusalem, and he is on his way there, stopping at Bethany. Jesus is giving this family an opportunity to have communion with the Lord. We're told in John chapter 11, where that passage that deals with Lazarus dying and then Jesus raising him from the dead. It says in John 11, verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus cared for this family. He gave them the opportunity, a tremendous opportunity, for them to have communion with Jesus Christ. He loved them and he wanted them to have that opportunity. And so the first principle that I want you to see here this morning about having communion with the Lord is that we need to seize the opportunity for communion with the Lord. Take the opportunity. Seize it. Take hold of that opportunity for communion with the Lord. Just as Jesus was offering that opportunity to this family, he loved them, he cared for them, the scripture says, so we also need to seize the opportunity for communion with God. And we see that this family did take that opportunity. They opened their home to the Lord. It says there, a certain woman named Martha, verse 38, received him into her house. Open your life to the Lord. That's the first step to taking that opportunity, is opening your life to the Lord. I don't think I'm spiritualizing too much this passage to say that Jesus wants to come to your house. Just as he wanted to come to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, Jesus also loves you, and he cares about you, and he wants to have communion with you. And what do you need to do in response to that? You have to open up your life. You have to open up your home and let him in. And what does that mean? Well, Scripture tells us that that means to recognize your sin, just as Jesus was trying to get this lawyer that we looked at last time to understand that really he was not able to live up to these expectations, to love the Lord his God with all his heart and to love his neighbor as himself. And even though he thought he was, he really wasn't. And we need to recognize that we can't live up to God's expectations, but that God has made a way that we can be holy and just before him through the sacrificial work of our Savior. So open up your life to the Lord. Seize that opportunity for communion with God. But we see here in this passage that seizing that opportunity also means showing love for the Lord. And we see the ways, really two ways in this passage, that this family shows love for Jesus Christ. And we're confronted, first of all, with Martha, the sister, and what she does, verse 38, again, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And the idea of the word received here is just the idea of showing hospitality, of welcoming somebody, inviting them in, and preparing for them, as we see Martha is doing. but it seems that Martha is maybe the leader here in the home. In other passages as well, we see that John 11 again, it says in verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. In John chapter 12, we're told of another incident that happened at this home. It says in verse 2, there they made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So what's one way that you can show your love for the Lord? Seize that opportunity, show love for the Lord. I think one way that we see here is by serving. And that's what Martha is doing. Now, I think that Martha gets a little bit of a bad rap here from this passage, maybe in different ways that you can study it. But we're going to get to this in a moment here, but I don't think that the problem with Martha was that she was serving. One of the ways that we show love for the Lord is by serving him and serving other people. You know, if we say that, well, listen, the problem with Martha here in this passage was that she was serving. She was showing hospitality. Well, wait a minute. Then if we're going to say that, we're going to have to contradict a whole bunch of other passages. In the Old Testament, we see those men that came to Abraham, two angels. And what does Abraham do in Genesis 18? He tells his wife, we got to make a meal for these people. And you start getting some bread together. I'm going to go out and kill a calf, and we're going to make this meal and serve these people. And you know, other passages in the New Testament, we see Lydia and her conversion in Acts 16, verse 15. She says, if ye have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house. And she invites Paul and his co-worker there to her house, and she shows hospitality to them. Romans chapter 12 says that one of the ways we care for one another is to give ourselves to hospitality. Galatians 5:13 says, by love, serve one another. So one of the ways that we show love, we take the opportunity for communion with the Lord, is we serve. And, you know, I think that really, if we were to take away all the opportunities in our church for people to serve, and, you know, sometimes I get a little bit annoyed when I hear people say, we have too much going on. We should just get rid of our Sunday schools. We should just all meet together and, you know, not do anything else except all be together. I think if we were to do that, just get rid of all those other opportunities, I think we would be a weaker church. Because the church is to be involved in serving. And there's all sorts of different ways that we can serve one another, that people can be teaching children that are good at doing that, and you know, all these other ways that we can be involved in service, serving the Lord. That's one way that we show our love for the Lord, and that's one way I think that we seize that opportunity. But there is another way. We see that in the second sister here, in verse 39. Look at that. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Here we have another way that we show our love for the Lord, and that is simply by listening to the Lord. Listening to the Lord. Mary listened here as a learner, as a student. And that's what it means when it says that she sat at Jesus' feet. That was a way of showing that you are a student. Sitting at somebody's feet, learning from what they have to say. We have other examples in the Scripture. The Apostle Paul tells us that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a student of that teacher. And that's how Mary was acting towards the Lord. She was listening as a learner, as a student, to what Jesus had to say. She wanted to hear his word. You know, there are differences, I think, in the way that people, I think, naturally gravitate towards having communion with the Lord, towards demonstrating their love with the Lord, and I think we see that here in this passage. Martha being the hostess, the one who is involved in all the serving. And you have Mary, who's perhaps the quieter one. She's just there listening to Jesus. And you know, it may not be that Martha was not involved at that at all. If you look at verse 39, it says she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You know, it may be that Martha was also taking her place there at Jesus' feet when it says that Mary also sat at Jesus' feet. All right, this may have been something that they were both doing, but you know, we'll see what happens next here. But she was listening to the Lord. She was listening to the Lord as a learner. When we see Mary, the character of Mary, we could go to another passage where we see the heart of Mary in John chapter 12, another occasion when Jesus was in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Mary takes upon herself a pound of ointment of spikenard, John 12:3. It says, very costly. And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I think we see something else in Mary. You know, she listened as a learner, but really her heart was geared towards something even greater than that, and that is a worship. She listened as a worshiper. When you see what was in Mary's heart and how she responded to the Lord, she recognized who he was. And she wanted to listen to him. She wanted to worship him as he came on another occasion and demonstrate her great love for him. But seizing the opportunity is the first principle here that we see. Jesus is coming to their house. And what an amazing privilege that would have been. The Lord coming to your house. And what do? Mary and Martha, they open up their home to him. And they demonstrate their love to him. Martha is serving him. She wants to fix a meal for him. Mary is listening to his word. And both of those things are good things. They are ways that we show our love. But the second principle that we see here this morning has to do with the obstacles to communion with God. We see the opportunity that we need to seize, verses 38 and 39, but we need to, secondly, be careful of the obstacles to communion with God. There are some problems here in this passage that we need to deal with. Problems in this home. Be careful of the obstacles. Notice verse 40. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. I want to point out three obstacles here that we need to be careful about. And the first obstacle we see in the word in verse 40 is translated cumbered about much serving. The word there is a word that means distracted or overburdened, literally to be pulled or dragged from all around. The idea of a distraction there is important. Mary, we see, was distracted. Martha was cumbered or distracted about much serving. I read a story about an absent-minded professor, and he had a problem with getting distracted, and his wife knew that. And so one day, the family was going to be moving, and so she told him, honey, today we're moving, and I'm going to try to help you to remember so that you don't forget. I'm going to write you a note, okay? We are moving today. Now, you put that in your pocket. So off he went to his laboratory. And he was working all day and getting involved in all sorts of complicated things. And he came back home and he walked in his house and everything was gone. And he thought, what has happened? He walked outside and there's a little boy out there. He said, hey, little boy, do you know the people that used to live here? He said, sure, Dad. Mother told me you're going to forget all about it here. You know, that's what was happening to Mary here. The text tells us that she was cumbered about much service. She was distracted. That was her first problem. She was distracted about much serving. Her problem, again, was not that she was serving. Her problem was that she was distracted from listening to Jesus with her serving. All right? She was distracted. That's the first obstacle that needs to be overcome, that we need to be careful of. We need to be careful of distraction from communion with God. And notice what happens next here in verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now, this next obstacle, I think we could call frustration. Not only was she dealing with some distraction, but it also came to the point of frustration. And she became very outwardly upset with her sister for what she was doing. And, you know, I think that this is a scene that's probably repeated in a lot of homes, all right? I've seen it in my own home with some sisters. And, you know, why isn't she helping? She's not helping clean up these blocks. And so I'm not going to do it either. I'm mad at this. And, you know, the 4 and 6-year-olds have a problem with this. They get frustrated a lot. But You know, it's not just limited to the 4 and 6 year olds. It's also the 14 and the 16 year olds and the 24 and the 26 year olds, and on it goes from there. Okay, and a frustration. You know, getting outwardly upset with people because of what's going on here. Martha was frustrated with her sister for not helping out with the meal. You know, Martha's there in the kitchen and she's got 1,000 things going all at once. She's got the green beans on the stove. She's got the mashed potatoes going. She's got the roast beef in the oven, and she's trying to get dessert. She wants to have a perfect salad, maybe a little bit of Jell-O on top of the salad. And she needs somebody to set the table. And Mary's out there just sitting and talking. What's she doing? She's getting frustrated. And so she begins to take that out even on the Lord. Verse 40, she says, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Now, when I hear this going on in my home, I have a way of dealing with it, and it involves sometimes spankings, okay? And these sisters are a little bit older, okay? And so Jesus doesn't go that route, but I want you to see the way that Jesus goes about dealing with this problem, okay? In verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." And here's the third obstacle, which is really the root of the problem that Jesus points out. Martha is distracted, yes. She's frustrated, okay? It's coming out in her interaction with her sister. But what does Jesus say is really the problem with Martha? Martha's real problem was being careful and troubled. The third obstacle here is what Jesus points out in Martha's heart, and that is worry. It was worry. The word translated careful is a word that means to be anxious, to have anxiety. It's a word that is used a great many times in Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus teaches on the subject of worry. And he says, "Take no thought." That's the same word translated careful. Take no thought for all these different things. The heart of Martha's problem here was that she was distracted, yes, led to her frustration. But really, Jesus pointed out to her that the heart of her problem was she was careful and troubled. She was worried. I'd like you to turn to that passage I mentioned, Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus teaches on this subject of worry, because I think we see even the solution in this passage for dealing with this subject. Matthew chapter 6, and we see here in verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink." Again, that's that word translated careful in Luke chapter 10, verse 41. Take no thought. Is not the life more than meat? Is not the body than raiment? Matthew 6, 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? And then listen to what Jesus says, "O ye of little faith." So the heart of Martha's problem was that she was careful and troubled. She was worried. She was taking thought for all these things, concerned and cared. But what's the solution to that? Really, what it boils down to is a faith problem. Do you really believe God? Do you really believe that God can take care of the things that you're really so concerned about? You really believe that God can help you get this meal together, Martha? Even while Mary's sitting there listening to Jesus, do you really think that God can handle things and give you what you need to eat? Do you really believe that God is able to do what He said He'd do to take care of your food and your clothing? So Jesus says in verse 31 of Matthew 6, "Therefore take no thought," again that same word, "saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Solution to worry is believing that God is able to take care of your needs. That's what Jesus is teaching. And Jesus wants Martha to understand really what her problem is. Part of the problem is a problem in her heart. "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." Be careful of the obstacles to communion with God. In the year 1714, the people in the country of England were very worried. They were very anxious. And the reason for their anxiety was a political situation that had arisen. Their queen was Queen Anne. And Queen Anne was very sick, and she was about ready to die. And the problem was that Queen Anne had no children. No living children, that is. She had been pregnant 18 times. Only 5 of her babies lived to be born, and even those died in their infancy or early stages of life. And so England, the people in England are wondering, what's going to happen? Who's going to be our next ruler? And Queen Anne was one who, unlike her father, I believe, who was a Roman Catholic, she was Protestant, and she was one who gave greater liberties to Protestants and people who really wanted to follow the Bible. One of the men at England in that time was a man by the name of Isaac, and Isaac's father had been imprisoned under the previous regime because his views did not please the ruling family. As a young child, Isaac had been carried by his mother to visit his father in jail. But Queen Anne had changed things, and now that she was dying, what was going to happen? People were wondering this. And so in response to that political situation that caused great anxiety and worry about what was going to happen, Isaac wrote a hymn. And that hymn was called, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home." And he wrote, "Under the shadow of thy throne, still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure." You know, that was a hymn that helped people understand that, okay, we're not sure what's going to happen with our political situation, but we know who our God has been. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. If we know who our God is, if we know that He is a Father who takes care of the needs of His children, if we know that He cares for our clothes, what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, then we can let that deal with the problem of our worry in our heart. And so whatever our worries may be, they may be political concerns, and certainly we have a lot of those at this time. They may be household cares, like Mary and Martha had, family issues. Maybe medical problems. What's going to happen in my body? The solution to the worries about these concerns is faith in the power and character of God to be able to deal with them. If a person doesn't have faith in God's character and who God is and what he's able to do, there's going to be a lot of worry. There's going to be a lot of care and trouble. There may be a lot of frustration with other people, just like Martha had. There's going to be a lot of distraction. And there will not be a lot of communion with God, as Mary was having. So we need to be careful of these obstacles to communion with God. Distraction, frustration, and recognize the source that's in our heart, worry. Then we see a third principle here this morning. We see in this home that they did seize the opportunity for communion with God. We see the need here to be careful of the obstacles to communion with God. And I want you to see one final principle here this morning from verse 42. And that is that we need to make changes in our life that promote communion with God. Make the changes that promote communion with God. Look at verse 42. Jesus says, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Make the changes that promote communion with God. Recognize what is really necessary. Jesus says, one thing is needful. How many things are really necessary in our life? We probably have a long list of necessities that may not be really necessities. We may have been tricked into thinking that many of the things that we think are absolutely necessary really are not. What can we live without? Jesus shows us here that there's one thing that is absolutely necessary. He says, one thing is needful or necessary. One thing is a necessity. What is it? Well, it is, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word comes out of the mouth of God. God's word. God's word is our life. And Mary had a right understanding of that in this situation. She knew that Jesus was there. Jesus was teaching her. And she was going to be there. Recognize what is really necessary. Attention to God's word is the one necessity that we have in our life. We have to have God's word. We must have it. And we need to make the change in our life where we recognize we must have that. What changes do we need to make in our life that show that? What changes in our schedule, our weekly schedule, do we need to make that show that this is something I must have? I must have God's Word. I must have it daily. Recognize what is really necessary. And we see really what it comes down to is a choice. Notice what Jesus says in verse 42, "And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." What it came down to in Mary's life was she made a choice. Yes, there's all kinds of other things that she could be doing here, even good things. But Mary had made a choice. This is what I must do. I'm going to do this. My sister's going to get all mad at me, I know. But I must listen to Jesus. I must do this. Choose what is best. Notice that that choice is a choice that's rewarded. It says, which shall not be taken away from her. There is something about that choice to give attention to God's word that is a permanent investment. It shall not be taken away. That time that you spend with the Lord is an investment in eternity. It shall not be taken away from her. Make the changes that promote communion with God. Now, how did Martha respond to that? You know, we don't have her reaction to what Jesus said, but Jesus was talking to Martha. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. How did she respond? As we close here, I'd like you to turn to one final passage where we see something else about Martha, and that's John chapter 11. John chapter 11. We have the account of Jesus raising Lazarus, their brother, from the dead. And in the course of the conversation, we see some of the greatest confessions of faith. And I want you to notice who is making those confessions of faith in John 11 and verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And then notice verse 27. This is Martha. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Martha was a believer. Martha was not somebody who was turning away from God. And perhaps it was this incident in Luke chapter 10 that encouraged Martha to really and truly see who Jesus is. And we see that Martha, I believe, responded well. We have one of this greatest confessions of faith. She says, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Do you believe that? I hope you do. And if you do, Jesus wants to come into your life and he wants to have communion with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. Take the opportunity. Be careful of the obstacles, the distractions, the frustrations, the worries of the heart, and make the changes that are necessary in your life to promote communion with God. Would you bow your heads with me, please, this morning? Is communion with God a necessity in your life? Do you see it as something that you absolutely must have? I know that many of us are very busy, and we all have things that could occupy our time every waking moment. But Jesus wants us to see here that we need to take the steps, make the changes to have communion with God. So I want to encourage you this morning, if there are changes that you need to make, it begins with a choice. Mary hath chosen that good part. I encourage you to make that choice and make the changes that are necessary to commune with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, which shows us your desire to meet with us and for us to know you. We pray that you would help us to deal with the obstacles for that in our life, the distractions that we have, and the frustrations, and ultimately the worries. We confess these to you this morning, and we pray that you would give us the faith that we need to follow after you each day, to seek your face. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.